I think we start with agenda paper 14.
Yes.
Denise, you're all there is today. So.
Thank you. Good morning. So the objective of agenda paper 14 is to analyze a request that the committee received to clarify the accounting for a performance condition within the context of cash-settled share-based payments. The submitter observed that IFRS 2 does not specifically address the accounting for this issue, and also it appeared that the implementation guidance in IFRS 2, more specifically example 12, suggested that the measurement of cash-settled awards that include a performance condition should be consistent with the measurement of equity-settled awards. We performed some outreach on this issue, and the results from the outreach request indicated that the issue is fairly common, not that common, but is fairly common. So our analysis in the paper focuses on the fact that paragraph 33 in IFRS 2 states that the liability arising from a cash-settled award should be measured, taking into account all the terms and conditions on which this award was granted. So based on that, our recommendation to the Interpretations Committee is to amend IFRS 2 as part of the Annual Improvements Project. And basically what we are proposing is to clarify or confirm what is already in paragraph 33, that the measurement of the fair value of the liability shall take into account the effect of vesting and non-vesting conditions in the measurement. And with this, we are also proposing an amendment to the introductory paragraph to example 12 in paragraph IG 19, also to confirm this. And in addition, we are recommending including example 12A to the implementation guidance in IFRS 2 to address the impact of a performance condition on the measurement of cash-settled share-based payment transactions. This example was proposed by the submitter. And we do not recommend amending example 12 in the implementation guidance because based on our analysis, we thought it was consistent with the measurement of cash-settled awards more than the measurement of equity-settled awards. And this is all explained in paragraph 50 of this paper. So the question is whether you agree with our recommendation and whether you agree with the proposed amendments in Appendix A of this paper. Thank you.
Comments? Any disagreements with the staff proposal? Now they light up. Scott, let's start with Scott today.
Okay. Wasn't intending to go first, but I think I entirely disagree. I had always read IFRS 2 to say that the fair value of a liability award at a point in time was the same as the fair value of the same award as an equity award. When the manner of settlement changes, fair value measurement would be the same. So this is not at all the way that I thought it was to be applied.
Okay, we'll put you down as undecided. Ron?
I also didn't want to come amongst the first. I would have preferred to react. While I understand why the staff is going there, so I can see this treatment as an answer, I am concerned that it is going to be complex, very difficult to implement. I'm also wondering about consequences and possible inconsistencies. Questions it may rise. The measurement of a liability for an award where it is at the employee's choice to get settlement in cash or equity, because for that treatment, I don't think you would have the same type of measurement, and then you can question why. So while you can get there, I'm really concerned by this one.
Reinhardt?
I likewise disagree with the staff recommendation personally believe that approach A, equity settled, would be the appropriate approach to follow, although I understand the conceptual merits of a fair value measurement for a cash settlement model. Like Laurence, I'm concerned about the complexity of applying those provisions. I think I can read paragraph 6A to suggest a different measure of fair value. And I think also importantly, when I look at the basis for conclusions, paragraph 184 to IFRS 2, I think there was an acknowledgement by the board of the complexities of that of that model, and also, you know, an intent, I can read an intent at least to converge with FAS 123, and 123 would be approach A. And so in view of all of those reasons, I personally would be supportive of approach A as opposed to approach B.
Tony?
I guess I see approach B as being consistent with the standard as it is written at the moment. I don't see anything in the standard that says that you shouldn't account for a cash settled award and recognize an expense just because it's not probable that a performance condition is going to be met, or anything that suggests you use a different measure of fair value other than in the specific circumstances where you end up with modified grant date fair value, which is the model for equity settled awards. So I think this reflects IFRS 2 at the moment. So I agree with the staff that the proposal is the best reflection of IFRS 2. I understand the concerns that it introduces a level of complexity. And my sense is that if the feeling of the committee is they would prefer the alternative, I don't think that's consistent with IFRS 2, and I think the standard would need to be amended to suggest that you use a different model.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also, I guess, not persuaded by the idea of convergence with the US guidance, since there are so many differences in the detail between the way the US GAAP models works and the way the IFRS model works. I just don't find that compelling. So I think this reflects the standard. If the committee feels that it adds additional complexity, then I think the standard ought to be amended to clarify that approach A is the right answer.
Andrew?
Yeah, I can see arguments in both directions. On balance, I'd be in the same position as Laurence and Scott. I think overall this will add complexity. Laurence mentioned the issue about schemes where the counterparty has a choice of settlements. There's an assertion in paragraph 37 of the standard that the fair value of the settlement outcomes is normally the same. I'm not sure if that assertion would hold if we start changing the way we measure fair value for cash settled outcomes. I think it could add complexity to contingent settlement features of the sort we discussed under item 6 yesterday, where you have a reclassification from one settlement outcome to the other. I think the natural reading of example 12 is at least to suggest consistency with equity settled, although I see you can argue the other way. So, yes, on balance, I prefer approach A and analogy with equity settled, but I would support Tony in saying that if that's the way we go, that probably does also merit some clarification in the standard.
Joanna?
Without repeating everything that everybody has said, my inclination, I have to say, is approach A. I can see the arguments for approach B, but even more, actually, when you read the paper and the diversity issue, and I mean the respondents from the outreach all basically saying they're doing approach A. So to go to approach B, I mean, either, you know, yes, it's not a great deal of diversity from the outreach that's done. It's approach A. So if we go to approach B, we're actually turning what everyone is doing. Now, not saying that they're doing it right, but it does concern me to go to approach B, although I can see the arguments to get there. But I think I can equally see them to get to A.
Martin.
conceptually, I'm on, well, the same opinion as Tony, so I'm at approach B. If we consider it on a practical basis, what would a company, if it would like to settle, or if it would like to transfer this obligation to a third party, how it would account it for? And I know that there are already banks offering, in a way, insurance programs for cash-settled payments. How we would account for this? And I would suppose that such would be accounted for at fair value, according to approach B. So also in practical terms, if you really have a huge program, I believe, well, approach B is better, fair value is better. However, I see the practical challenges.
Okay. Scott, coming back.
Just going to reiterate a couple of things other people have mentioned. The choice of settlement issue is one I wanted to bring up. We have always assumed that if the calculation is the same, the value is the same. Apparently, we were wrong if UB is the answer here. I also think the write-up of example 12 in saying that it could be read either way is disingenuous. Example 12 treats each person as if in the calculation there is a 100% chance they will earn the award or zero, because we base it on expectation of what will vest. If you were really going for probability, you would have to say this person has a 100% chance of staying, that person has a 100% chance of leaving, these other people have somewhere between a 60 and 90% chance of staying. Your weighting would be different, your calculation would be different. You wouldn't get the same numbers the way that the paper suggests that you would. The paper suggests you would treat everybody as 0% or 100% and just average those to get 81. But in fact, the people that you expect will leave, there's probably about a 40% chance that they'll stay. You wouldn't treat it as zero. So I don't think that example 12 could be read to support either way. I think it can only be read to be consistent with view A.
I thought I understood this issue until you all started talking. And now I'm persuaded that I don't. And perhaps I'm hung up on the same thing that gave us trouble yesterday when we said, well, the accounting is like a modification of terms, or it's like something else. It's like it, the situation was not a modification of terms. We were accounting that was similar. There is no question that because... Let me ask this. Is there any question that this is still a cash-settled plan? So we're going to recognize expense all the way up to exercise date under either approach. The only question is right. How much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's typing. All right. Okay. Tony?
That was actually the point I was going to come back with, Wayne, is one of the things that I think may lead us towards perhaps a more pragmatic solution is the fact that the total expense is going to be the same, whichever model. This is only affecting the intra-period allocation of the expense, because the total expense is going to be the cash that you part with at the end. And I think if you take that into account, I can see the benefits in getting to a solution that is more pragmatic. I just think if we do that, the standard ought to be changed to be clear that we're diverting from fair value not only on for equity settled but also for cash settled.
That was going to be my second question. If we went with, and the clear majority is for view A of the people who've spoken up, what does it take to implement view A? Certainly, it seems to me that if one needed some annual improvement to the standard, the other does as well. Scott, did you want to come back in on that?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I would have thought that no change to the standard was needed because paragraph 6A clarifies this IFRS uses the term fair value in a way that differs from from IFRS 13. It doesn't say in some cases in this standard the term fair value differs. It says the term fair value is used here in a way that differs. So I wouldn't have thought that the term fair value within IFRS 2 means different things in different places. And I thought the reason 6A was added when IFRS 13 came into the literature was to make clear, don't look to IFRS 13.
No, there's no question that that's exactly what the...
But that's what we're doing if we say that for liability awards, you have to go with the, what I will call, normal way that we would assess fair value.
Andrew?
I'd suggest that paragraph 33, which refers to taking into account all terms and conditions, would need to be changed.
Laurence?
I think that today, probably either approach would have accepted. So we've heard a little bit bad practices, but how can we be sure that practices have been really consistent? Mm-hmm. If we now limit to one answer only, I'm always concerned about those who may have applied the other treatments. How are they going to justify the change? So this is why I always prefer in such situations, and we were all saying that we can understand why approach B can also be an answer. Besides
that. No, I didn't say that.
Okay. So in that case, we need to clarify. But if we do so, we need to clarify through annual improvement or something. It cannot be just an agenda rejection.
I would tend to agree with that. I think you're being much more articulate than I was. That I don't think we can do this with just an agenda decision. Other reactions?
I think, Andrew, given that fair value is not used in the way it is used elsewhere in the framework in this standard, and it tells you exactly what to do to measure the grant date fair value of an equity settled award, that it would be helpful to clarify the guidance when you apply it to a cash settled award.
John?
I think you can get to both answers under the standard. So if we're going to say there's one, we would prefer one answer, then I think we do need to amend, if we're going for approach A, we need to amend paragraph 33. Because I think that, to me, I would read the standard the same way as the staff would in terms of the approach B, but I think example 12 points to approach A, as does paragraph 6A, which talks about the use of fair value in a different way. I don't agree that example 12 can be read as being in a fair value model. I agree with Scott, a fair value model would be completely different than the way example 12 is presented. So I think there are ambiguities in the standard, and I really could support either approach.
Well, we've got a lot of passionate indecision here. Show of hands, view A is the answer. Okay. Then show of hands, annual improvement. Okay, that's what we do. We bring it back as an annual improvement, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Laurence?
Can I just ask, if we do an annual improvement, so we'll clarify that fair value for cash settled shall be estimated in the same way as for equity settled, but have we considered the full consequences of going there? At the moment, I'm not sure I have a full picture of what might be the consequences on other parts.
I mean, it does strike me, and obviously we would bring this back as part of a future analysis, that the difference between the modified grant date fair value that is used for equity settled and the final cash that you pay, you need to get from one to the other eventually. to the extent that there's a difference. And effectively, that would come in the very last period if we're keeping with the modified grant date fair value all the way through until settlement. So there will be a catch-up consequence as a result of that.
I think I was shortcutting. Obviously, one of the things that we'll have to look at is whether or not that amendment would meet the criteria for an annual improvement, or whether we have to do it as a standalone, and all of that analysis. Plus, you know, Michael is absolutely right. We need to look at the impact of it, and that will be in the subsequent paper. Yeah. Okay.